Good morning. It is the fourth Sunday in the season of Lent here at First Baptist Church of Elon. It is an unusual Sunday. As I stand here in the sanctuary, I look out on these pews and there is no one here. It is like this probably at many churches across Alamance County, and it is an unusual Sunday for many churches across Alamance County. Many churches are not meeting in their sanctuaries this Sunday, as we are in a different season in Alamance County and across the state of North Carolina and across the United States. And as we worship on Sunday morning here on March 22nd during the season of Lent, and probably for at least another Sunday, and we're not sure how many Sundays following that, we are in a different season. And we are here at First Baptist Elon worshiping this Sunday in a different way. And it may be a different way for worshiping for you. So as you are listening to this service, maybe it is on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. Maybe you're listening on our church website, and we thank you for that. It may not be Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. It may be Sunday afternoon or Sunday evening or sometime a little bit later in the week, but we want to thank you for gathering with us and listening to this worship service. We are reminded that the church is not a building. We are reminded that the church is the body of Christ. It is those that gather together and worship. That is what is the church, and we are reminded of that this day. So as we gather together, Christ is with us. Christ is worshiping with us. He is challenging us to be the church, not just this day, but every single day. So while we may not be gathered together in the same place, He is what challenges us to be the church, and that we will continue to do so, not just this day, but every day. May we be reminded of this as we read these words this day. Lift up your voice and call out to God. We cry out believing that God hears us. Come together and wait for God. We come together trusting that God is still speaking. Surely God's presence is here with us now. We wait in hope, for God's steadfast love lifts our hearts. Come worship the Lord. We celebrate the power of God that restores us. God is with us this day. God's power restores us this day. God's power continues to restore us this day, the next day, and the next day. Let us worship together this day.
Stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good father. It's who you are.
Our opening scripture reading is a psalm that is familiar to many of us. It's a psalm I think is a very appropriate for this time. Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." As we reflect on these words of Psalm 23, I want to lift up a prayer that came across just a little while ago. It's a prayer that was written by Joan Stott just a few years ago that speaks to these words of Psalm of David. Let us pray together. Generous God and giver of all things, we rest in your loving and tender care, and we are revived, restored, and renewed by your strength and encouragement. You go before us in life, leading us in pathways that are secure without the confusion of becoming lost, aware only that we always need to follow you. and so we trust in your guidance and wisdom. As human beings, we know there will be in times of stress when our body or minds let us down. We know there will be dark times too, when life seems to be nothing but struggle. And it is in those times especially that we rely on your presence deep within us to guide and bless us. Grace-giving God, you provide us with the tools we need for the tasks we face, and for this we give you our trust and our thanks. Life-giving God, you put out the welcome mat for us as we gather to worship you. You nourish our souls and bodies through your goodness and tender mercies. You heal our life's wounds, and your generous love fills us to overflowing. You give us an honored place at your table and invite us to stay with you as your guest forever. You have promised that your unfailing love will stay with us always, and for this we give you our thanks. Amen. Once again, good morning. Of course, that's how I begin most of my sermons when I preach. And most of the time when I preach my sermon, I expect those words to come back at me. But as I sit in the sanctuary, stand in the sanctuary this morning, the only person that's staring back at me is Gay Collins, our music minister, who is staring right back at me, and I'm not expecting her to repeat those words. It is a different time. It is a different circumstance. Something is definitely different. We are truly living in a uniquely different time. It's uncomfortable. It's scary. Shocking. Alien. Exhausting. Unknown. These are just a few of the words that have been used by children, parents, doctors, politicians, business owners, and anyone you ask to describe the state of living that we are now in, known as COVID-19 or the coronavirus pandemic. Everywhere you turn, television, radio, the computer, newspaper, we are receiving the latest news about the virus. I personally am someone who receives news everywhere I can turn. On my phone, my watch, my computer, sometimes late at night on my television. So oftentimes I get the same exact information, sometimes three or four or five times the exact same information. I do not want to miss what the latest information is. We are living in unprecedented times, and for most of us, this brings a wealth of questions, and with those questions, a wealth of emotions. How do I live out my day-to-day life? Is it okay for me to go to work today? Who are going to watch my kids who are at home from school while I go to work? Are the basic groceries going to be at my local grocery store? Is it okay to go to my local doctor for my regular appointment? Should I just stay at home until this all just blows over? How do I take care of my parents who are in a nursing home? What happens if I get sick? Are things going to go back to normal? When are things going to go back to normal? I'm here to tell you that you are not alone if you have been asking these questions. And the underlying emotions that lead to these questions are the same emotions that most Americans, let me take that back, that most of humanity have been asking these past few months. Fear, doubt, worry, sadness, anger, helplessness, uncertainty. In the midst of crisis like we as a nation are facing right now with the coronavirus pandemic, our emotions get heightened and can take control of our lives. It is only normal. You are not alone. If you are feeling this way, if you've been asking these questions, you are not alone. So, what do we do? Where do we turn? What are the answers? This morning, I wanted to provide three verses that hopefully maybe provide a little bit of hope in the midst of all these questions. Reading from Isaiah chapter 43, looking at verses 1 through 3, and I'm going to give you a chance to turn with those in your Bible. Usually we have those words printed on the screen right here, and you can look straight up at the screen and see those. We're looking at Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 through 3 this morning. And these verses come from a very, very deep point in history of the Old Testament, and I'll be touching on that history in just a moment. But Isaiah is a very long passage in the Bible. It is a very large book, and it is deep with history. And I'm going to be touching on that history for just a moment, but it speaks to a time that we can relate to, the emotions that we can relate to, some of the questions that we're asking we can relate to. Again, reading from Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 through 3. "But now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." These words from the prophet, just standing alone, reminds us that when we are facing times of trouble, we can rely on God's presence for security and hope on a daily basis. However, understanding the historical setting of what the people of Judah were facing when the prophet Isaiah were speaking these words can bring these words alive for us today as we are living in a coronavirus pandemic world. For many years, the southern kingdom of Judah reigned supreme. However, the rise of the Babylonian Empire led to the fall of the southern kingdom of Judah and caused this kingdom to be thrown into disarray and chaos. Life as the Judean people had known it was quickly turned upside down. Families were split, jobs were lost, the temple had been destroyed, questions were being asked, with many going unanswered. How do I take care of my family? Where does my next meal come from? How do I go on with my day-to-day life? Do you recognize some of those questions? How do I take care of my family? Where does my next meal come from? How do I go on with my day-to-day life? While the circumstances leading to the questions were different, some of the emotions were the exact same that we're feeling today. Sadness, doubt, fear, worry, anger, helplessness, the unknown. In the midst of this unknown, the prophet Isaiah was called to remind the Judean people of the known. Yeah, you heard me correctly. In the midst of this unknown, the prophet Isaiah was called to remind the Judean people of the known. He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel. The covenantal relationship God made with Abraham didn't stop there. It carried down through the generation to Jacob, Israel, and so on and so on. He was in the beginning and continues to be. Just as he called Abraham and Israel by name, he calls us by name. In the darkest times, he calls us by name. In the darkest times, he calls us by name. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. But Isaiah's words didn't stop there. He knew that there were still darker days ahead with hope at the end of the tunnel. So in those days, he reminded them, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze." Pulling from the imagery of the Exodus, God reminded the people of Judea that just as he walked his chosen people through the perilous waters of the Red Sea, he would not let the overwhelming waters of the Babylonian exile drown the people of Judea. Neither will God let the overwhelming emotions of the COVID-19 pandemic drown us either, because he is with us. The people of Judea felt the same emotions that we are feeling today. The same emotions, the same questions, the same overwhelmingness. And Isaiah reminded them that the known is still the known. And we can be reassured of that today. We must not get caught up in the unknown. We must be reminded that there is still the known. in the midst of crisis, it is easy to let the emotions of the unknown to take control of the situation. The people of Judah had allowed the crisis of the exile overwhelm them, and Isaiah's prophetic words reminded them that God was still with them and still in control. As we walk through this period of the unknown with the coronavirus pandemic, may we focus and minister out of the known. So what does this mean for us? What does this mean for us today? What does this mean for us going forward? What does this mean for us tomorrow and the next day and the next week and the next month? And who knows how long? What does this mean for us? Number one, this means that God is and will continue to be in control. You heard me right. God is and will continue to be in control. We must remember this and never forget it. God is and will continue to be in control. He is present with those who are hurting. He is comforting those who have lost loved ones. He is strengthening medical workers working long hours. He is inspiring teachers and students facing challenging times. He is inspiring workers of all kinds who are thinking outside the box to assist in the new world in which we are living. God is love, and He loves us. God is and will continue to be in control. Number two, the church will continue to minister. The church is not a building, but the body of Christ. Whoever is listening to this today, you are the church. We are still ministering to our community. Just because we're not gathered here on a Sunday morning does not mean the church doors are closed, does not mean the church doors are locked. We are still ministering to our community. Gay and I have been overrun with phone calls and texts from church members to see if there are any ways that they can help our church family during this time. We've been overwhelmed by it. Phone calls, food drop-offs, errands being run. These are just a few ways in the coming days and weeks that we have identified that we will be assisting our church family during this time. We don't know what tomorrow or the next week or the next month holds, but we do know that the church will continue to minister. Whether we gather here on Sunday morning or not, the church will continue to minister. We also know that the deacons will be contacting our church families in the coming weeks. Next week, you will hear from your deacon. Each deacon family will be contacted to contact you to find out if there is a specific need you have right now. Please, if there is a need, let your deacon know. No need is too small. We need to know this so we can minister to you, so we can reach out. We have a faithful group of deacons, and we have helpers beyond our deacons that are wanting to help. If you have a need, please, please let us know. Please let us know. The church will continue to minister. Hopefully, sooner than later, we will be back gathered here on Sunday mornings. That is our hope. That is our goal. That is our hope. We don't know when, but the church will continue to minister. The third thing that we do know is this. Our community is resilient. It has brought tears to my eyes that I have been amazed at how quickly our larger community has come together in this time of upheaval. I've seen schools that have transitioned to online learning and mobilized feeding stations for students and families. Churches have transitioned from regular weekly worship schedules to streaming online services. FBC Elon will have a worship service posted on its website for each Sunday that we will not gather here on Sunday morning. My hope is to have a Facebook Live sermon on the FBC Elon Facebook page Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. as well. Restaurant and businesses have transitioned to emergency mode to try to keep doors open and try to keep their employees with jobs. I would strongly encourage you, if you are able, when you're able, to try to support these local businesses to try to boost the economy when able. I have been amazed at many different ways that people in our community are trying to help the least of these. When you are able, assist with these ways that our community is trying to be resilient. And those are just a few of the things that I am aware of. You are probably aware of more than I am. If you know ways that our church can partner with these areas in our community, please let us know. There is no small way that we can assist in our community, because we are a part of our community. First Baptist Elon is a part of our community. Our community is resilient. We are a part of our community. We want to be a part of it. God is and will continue to be in control. Dwelling in the unknown is a scary place. Living in the known presence of God brings peace, comfort, and hope. Let me close this morning by reading a scripture passage, Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. And this morning, I'm going to read from the Message. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. And don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. As we close this day, may we be reminded that God is and will continue to be in control. Amen.
To my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto to my feet and a light unto